Man, well, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, getting the pulpit early today, I don't mean anything, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just thought I'd say it for your hearing. Familiar passage to most of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul speaking, says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," in other words, the truth that God was giving him, "there was given unto me the thorn in the flesh, the message of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love for us, and we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, that we might have everlasting life. We thank you for the grace that was given to us at salvation and the grace that we have in order that we might live. And I pray this morning that this would again be very clear and precise, and we'd be reminded of this wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we know that in order for the grass to grow, you must have rain, and we had some yesterday. What a blessing. I was just about to turn my sprinklers on. I still haven't done it at my house yet. Let that grass get a little bit brownish before you start turning them on and use all that money. But, in order for the grass to grow again, you need the rain. And in our lives, we know that in order for our faith to grow, there has to be something to exercise that faith. And though we don't like it, that exercising of faith is, in turn, is things that happen to us and circumstances that come into our life, which enables us to go through some distress and go through some problems and storms of life. And all of these things are meant to grow our faith and to test our faith. And so we see in this passage of Scripture that's very familiar, Paul says, "When I am weak, then am I strong." And what a paradox that is. And you think about, you're saying, Paul, that when you're weak, then you're strong. How can that be? How can that be? I don't know about you, but when I'm weak physically, I'm not strong physically. So there has to be something there. And we know what he's saying, that it's God who strengthens us. It's God who gives us our strength that we need. It's God who supplies by his grace the strength that we need to live out our everyday lives. He supplies for us his grace, his strength, both physical strength, emotional strength, intellectual strength. By the way, strength of the heart. In other words, strength of the mind and the will and the emotions. All of these God will supply and give to us by grace. The word grace, as we've studied many, many times, the word grace means God's unmerited favor. Grace is things that God puts into our life that we don't deserve. God's unmerited favor is freely given favor, even unto enablement. So grace is not just the undeserved love of God that he gives to us, freely given favor, but it's also the power to live the Christian life. In other words, grace is what we receive at salvation. I'm thankful for that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. But it's also the grace of God that enables us. In other words, it's the grace of God that empowers us to live out the Christian life. And not just the Christian life, but just to live out life in general. I'm thankful that I have the Lord there with me to enable me and empower me, to strengthen me, both physically, both emotionally, intellectually sometimes, and then, Lord, to strengthen my heart, to strengthen my mind and my will and my emotions, to empower me to live this life. I'm thankful that Jesus said, "I came to give life and give life more abundant." In other words, he didn't just give us life, which is eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is life. And I'm thankful for eternal life. But he also gave us life more abundant now. If you're a Christian, if you're saved this morning, he has given you the wherewithal, the ability, and the strength to have an abundant life. I'm thankful for that. God did not meant for us merely to endure life, but to enjoy it. Grace. Some of y'all remember the acrostic, God's riches available at Christ's expense. God gives us all these riches, but Christ died that we might have those riches of His grace. John 1:16 says, "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." We have received grace. By the way, I'm glad for that grace. Wonderful grace of Jesus, right? Greater than all my sin. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Through many dangerous toils and snares I have already come. It's grace that leads us through those. Grace. God's grace. God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. We see this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is sufficient for our needs. All of our needs. I think about as we minister and as we teach others the wonderful truths of the Word of God, and as we involve ourselves in the ministries here at the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And such trust we through Christ Jesus Godward, not that we have sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God." Paul said, hey, I've been given the ability to minister and to do the work that God has given me, but it's not me. God has given me that ability. God has supplied for me the power and strength that I need to minister to others. And can I remind you this morning, if you're a teaching or Sunday school teacher, your part in ministering to others, maybe it's ministering to your next door neighbor, ministering to a coworker, that it's God who will enable you to minister to them. It's God who will empower you and strengthen you to even be able to say things that you may not normally be able to say, to be bolder than you would normally be. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? That God gives us that grace to minister and to be a blessing to others. Grace is sufficient for thee. God's sufficiency is found also in meeting our material and physical needs. I'm thankful that God meets all of our needs. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." I'm going to read that again. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, so it's just a couple of pages back. Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in" what? "All things." My grace is sufficient for thee. God gives us grace sufficient in all things, in everything, may abound to every good work. And so God gives us that grace. As we think about, again, our text verse, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So he's saying, my grace is sufficient in all things, in all matters. He says, even in our works, as we go about doing good works, God's grace is sufficient for thee. I'm thankful this morning that God's grace is sufficient to meet my every need. That He meets my physical needs. "But God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That God is there to meet my need. God is there. God's grace is sufficient to meet my need in everything. I don't know what you may be facing today or what may come your way tomorrow, but God's grace is sufficient. And somebody was telling me this morning, job situation, you know, God's grace is sufficient in that job situation. God's grace is sufficient in dealing with that sickness and your mother in the hospital. God's grace is sufficient in dealing with health needs and all the, God's grace is sufficient in all things. Is that what the Bible says? By the way, that's a promise from God. We'll talk about that in a moment. Understand that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And whether this was an eye problem, and most scholars believe it was, that some kind of eye problem, whatever it was, he asked the Lord to deliver him of it, and God didn't do it. God did not deliver him of it. But it simply said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul was going to continue to experience whatever thorn that was in the flesh. But God's grace was sufficient to see him through that storm and through that difficulty. I think about, there are certain beliefs out there today, and I've heard it with my own ears. Somebody told me one time, he said, you know, preacher, if you're sick, it's really just the devil who's made you sick. And really, in order to get over that, you just mentally have to understand and just see yourself as not being sick. You know, it's the devil doing it, so you just ask the devil to flee. And if you're sick, it's because there's sin in your life, and the devil's in your life. And God, there's their words, God didn't mean for anybody to be sick. I just have a tremendous problem with that, because Paul wrote over half the New Testament, and apparently Paul was sick. There was something wrong with Paul. He asked God to deliver him three times, and God said no. Hello. He wrote over half the New Testament, and yet he had a physical condition of some sort, whatever it was. We have people, I was doing what you should not do, flipping through channels. In this day and age, you shouldn't have to do that, but I was still flipping through channels. And actually what it was it said Jeffers. And I thought, well, that's Jeffers. That's the guy in Dallas. I'd like to listen to him. And so I was flipping through. But it was some other Jeffers. It wasn't Brother Jeffers from Dallas. It was, I don't know. Does anybody know the name of the other guy? I thought I heard somebody. You're probably watching him. But, you know, he was down on the floor like this, and he was walking back and forth, and he had his little entourage with him, and they were calling up people from the audience who needed to be healed, and he'd bring this person up, and he'd say all sorts of things, and blah, 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 and, you know, that person would walk around, and, oh, look what's happening. Oh, man, you know, bogus bunch of hooey. And those guys are nothing. Anyway, I'll be nice. Wolf in sheep's clothing, because the Bible makes it very clear in Corinthians that gift, the gift of healing, has been done away with when the Word of God was completed. And remember, when Jesus Christ healed, he healed everyone. By the way, what's unique, what's different in that when Christ healed, he healed in various manners. He didn't just heal in one way. Sometimes it was a touch. Sometimes it was spoken. Sometimes it didn't say anything or do anything. Hello? It wasn't the manner in which he did it. It was the person who did the healing. Amen? It was Jesus Christ. And if you read, every time you read about Christ's healing, it says they brought all to him. They brought all to him. And whether their faith was able to make them whole, sometimes he would say that, sometimes he wouldn't. It wasn't depending upon their faith. It was the person. Hello? Amen. Now sometimes he would recognize their faith and so forth, and that would be involved, but that's not the way he healed every time. Amen. If you are a genuine faith healer, you go to the hospital, you start healing people. Right? Amen. That's what Jesus did. He healed all of them. All of them. Jesus Christ never said... Jesus Christ, God, never said that we would have no problems here on earth. He never said we would never be sick. God never promised you when you got saved that you wouldn't still have marital problems and relational problems. He never said that. He never said you wouldn't have to go to the hospital with your mother or with a daughter or with a son. He never said that. He never said that he would relieve you of all those things when you got saved. But he did say he would give you grace. Hang on, he promised to give you grace to go through those circumstances of this life. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. By the way, we are encouraged to pray for God's will to be done. And I still believe as we pray for Miss Shepherd, I believe Miss Shepherd could have been healed at the very last moment if God wanted to. But we do pray for God's will to be done. God's will to be done. I think of Miss Modine, who's really gone through a lot of physical problems the last couple of years. And, I mean, God could heal her just like that if he wants to. And we should pray for God's healing. But God's will to be done. You say, well, that's a cop-out. It's no cop-out. I've heard some people say, well, if you're going to pray for them, just pray for the healing, preacher. And I do. I pray for the healing. God, would you heal them if it be your will? And we want God's will for their life. God's grace is sufficient. If God's grace is sufficient to save us, surely it's sufficient to keep us and strengthen us in our time of suffering. Now, I wrote this statement down. We will trust God for our eternal life and not trust Him for our physical life. In other words, we put our faith in Him for our eternal existence. We believe His grace is sufficient for our eternal existence. But so many times we lack faith in the grace that He gives us for the here and now. You're going to trust Him for all eternity, but not trust Him for the little blip in time that we have here on earth? Believing His grace is sufficient. Can I just tell you this morning, His grace is sufficient for every need you have. God's grace is sufficient for every physical need, every material need. God's grace is sufficient for you as a teacher, as a Sunday school teacher, as a children's church worker, as a master club worker, whatever area of ministry you're in. God's grace is sufficient when you talk to your neighbor about the Lord. God's grace is sufficient when you talk to your kids about Jesus. God's grace is sufficient for every need that you have. All our needs. Every need. God's grace is sufficient. Not only do we have sufficient grace, we have strengthening grace. Again, the definition of grace, and there's many definitions, but the one I'm choosing this morning is freely given favor, even unto enablement. Even unto enablement. I'm thankful that God saves us, but I'm thankful also that He empowers us to live this life. We are saved by grace, but we also are to live by grace. It's one of the hardest things for us to do. God permits us to become weak so that we might receive His strength. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. By the way, it's His strength. If I'm going to live out this life as God meant for me to do, I better rely upon His strength and not mine. Because I'm just a weak vessel. I'm just a weak clay pot. I'm just a weak tent. It is God's strength that I need. And He's promised to give us that grace. Promise generates faith, and faith strengthens hope. Promise generates faith. God's promises generate faith. I have faith in the Lord. I have faith in His promises that He will keep those promises, because if He doesn't, He's not God. And if He's promised to supply me strength in my weakness, then that's what He will do. And no matter what weakness that may be, God will supply that strength to me. And that strengthens, that gives me faith, which in turn strengthens my hope. My hope is in Him. By the way, we live on the promises. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Amen. Stand on the promises of God. We stand on His promises. We live on His promises. We are to live on His promises and not our feelings. Feelings change. And when you go through life's difficult situations, and when you're facing adversity, and when you're facing suffering, feelings will change. But God's promises do not change. We rest our hope in Him. We hang our hat on His promises, knowing that He will fulfill every promise He's ever given us. That's a fact. Confident expectation. That's what hope is. Confident expectation. Knowing that God will keep His promises. Again this morning, God promised His grace is sufficient, but also He's promised that His grace is strengthening. It's empowering. It enables us to live out the life. God is not obligated, again, to remove our affliction. He is there to carry us through that affliction. He uses our afflictions to transform us. We mentioned this Wednesday night, that God is working on us, conforming us into the image of His Son. God works all things together for good. I'm going to read that verse. We always kind of misquote it anyway. After memorizing it, I'm going to go over and read it. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God works all circumstances in life for our good. God always has our best interests in mind. Just as you deal with your children, and just as you deal with them and you have their best interests in mind, no matter how they may feel, no matter what they may think, no matter what condition they may feel like they're in, you have their best interests in mind. Hello. You do. If you're any kind of parent, you have your kids' best interests in mind. They may not understand it, and they may not feel like that's the case, but as a parent, you always do. Amen. Hello, teenagers. Hello, young people. Your parents love you. They have their best interests in mind. Doesn't mean, unlike God, they make mistakes sometimes, but God never makes a mistake. Understand that. So God always has your best interest in mind. He never makes a mistake. He can. He's God. That's good stuff. Oh, my goodness. I mean, God has your best interest in mind. God has your best interest in mind. Conforming us to the image of his son. Every circumstance in our life is merely a tool. It's merely fire. It's there conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And can I remind you this morning, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, our goal in this life, our purpose in life, is to glorify God and enjoy our fellowship with him forever. And in order to glorify him, we glorify him through his son, and through his son, we are to be imitators of Christ. My goal in life is to be an imitator of Christ. Christian means imitator of Christ. And if I'm going to be an imitator of Christ, then God uses difficulties, and God uses suffering in my life to conform me to the image of his son. You say, preacher, that I hear that all the time. And you preached on it a lot here lately. I think for me, it's just reiterating it over and over and over, the truth of the promises of God, that he is conforming us to the image of his son during these circumstances, that he does have our best interest in mind, that God never makes a mistake, and that God has promised us that through these difficulties that he will give us grace, and his grace is sufficient. And not only is it sufficient, but he will strengthen us through these difficulties and enable us and empower us to live out this life. This is a weird statement. Paul's thorn was a gift from God. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. That's something. That's a strange gift, isn't it? It's a strange gift to know that Paul's difficulty, whatever it may be, that it was some kind of physical difficulty, whatever it was, that it was given to him of God. That God was allowing it to happen in his life, and God was not going to remove it. And Paul said, therefore I will glory in my infirmities. A gift from God. It's hard for us to conceive and to understand that. What do we do when we have these difficulties? Well, we ought to spend time in prayer and seeking God's face. When we go through difficulties and problems in this life, we ought to spend time in prayer. We ought to spend more time with the Lord. I know that's simple command. I mean, it's a simple thought, but that's it. When life sends you difficult circumstances, spend more time with Jesus, not less. I'm still surprised as a pastor how many times I find people go through difficult circumstances and they start missing church. They're going through difficult circumstances and they start missing church. That's the place you should be. When you're going through this, that's the place you should not miss. I always say church doesn't fix everything, but it sure helps a lot. And whatever trial you're facing, some encouraging word at church, some strengthening word at church, may not even be the message, maybe a song, maybe somebody who you're fellowshipping with can say something that will encourage and strengthen you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he speaks about that, he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, most gladly Therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This word rest means to spread a tent over. I want to remind you that we are frail tents. I got this from, I think it was Warren Wiersbe. He said, we are frail tents, but God is making and transforming us into holy tabernacles. We are frail tents, but God is making and transforming us into holy tabernacles. And God, again, is working on us, transforming us. We are frail. Turn to 2 Corinthians just a few pages back, chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure. And that's speaking of the New Testament gospel, this New Testament ministry, this New Testament age of dispensation, this age of grace. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember, I preached a message on this several years ago, just called us a bunch of clay pots. When it speaks about these earthen vessels, it's speaking of a clay pot. It's not talking about the really nice vase in somebody's house that's priceless. This is talking about a clay pot that they use to put trash in. This is talking about a cheap clay pot that they did other things in, put refuse in. We're just cheap clay pots. I don't care what any self-help guru tells you, that in and of yourself, we have no value. You said, preacher, man, that's tough. I don't have any value in and of myself. My value is found in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just a cheap clay pot. You say, well, you have no value. Yes, of course, God finds value in us and so forth. But in and of myself, I am just a cheap clay pot. Why? Paul tells us that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, that no matter what we do in serving Him, and no matter what we do in serving our neighbor or whatever we're doing, that God gets the credit and not us. Paul says, I'm not doing all this because of some special talent that I have. God has empowered me to do this. We are troubled, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Again, Paul's saying we were knocked down, but not out. Think about all the things that he went through. And Paul's saying, we're distressed. It says, but we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, verse 10, always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. I'm thankful for that someday, being raised up. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That everything we do, that it would abound and redound to the glory of God by through His grace. For which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. It doesn't matter what circumstances you may be going through. You can have renewal every day. Renewal is found in the Word of God. Renewal is found in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And no matter what circumstances you're going through, you can have renewal every day. In fact, I would tell you this morning, you need renewal every day. We need a daily washing of the water by the Word of God as we live out this life. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I love how he describes that. This is just a light affliction now. Listen, what you're going through now is just a light affliction. I mean, Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, snake bit, prisoned. I mean, all these things that happened to him. And he says, this light affliction is but for a moment. Because what's waiting for you as a Christian on the other side far way outweighs what you're going through now. If you've never received another good thing in your entire life, what you're going to receive when you get to heaven far exceeds. The value far exceeds. The value far more exceeds what you're going through now. I love that old song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Just keep running the race. But light affliction. But for a moment. It says in verse 18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'm looking forward to the eternal. I want to remind you that when we're weak, then He's strong. That I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians says, I can do all things. I've been given all grace and sufficiency and grace, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because my strength is not found in and of myself. My value is not found in and of myself. My value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. My strength is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm just a zero without the Lord. But with the Lord, I'm more valuable than all the riches there is. We have this morning sufficiency and strength in His grace. We also have salvation through His grace. I just quoted this a while ago, but Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand and know from the Bible that we are weak when it comes to ability, our inability for eternal life. In other words, I cannot make it to heaven on my own. I have no ability to save my own life. I have no ability to save my own soul. It's only through the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. Salvation is solely of grace, unearned. To come and join a church does not get you to heaven. To come and present yourself and get baptized does not gain you eternal life. Being better than your next door neighbor does not give you eternal life. Being better than the deacons does not give you eternal life. Nothing you can do can gain eternal life. Salvation is found by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's only through the Lord. We have no ability to gain eternal life. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. In other words, all of our good works are as putrid rags, worthless. But I'm thankful that if I will confess my mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, His grace is sufficient for salvation. He saves us by His grace. I'm simply to come to Him and repent of my sins, understanding that my sin is what sends me to hell. And His sacrifice on Calvary is what gives me eternal life. I simply put my faith and trust in Him, His life, His death, and His resurrection as my only means of salvation. And I can have eternal life. I hope this morning you have experienced that grace of salvation, because His salvation is solely found by grace. Freely given favor. Hope you're saved this morning. Again, my value is not found in me, but my value is found in my position in Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient in everything. I'm thankful that His grace is sufficient for Heritage Baptist Church. That when we are weak as a church, then He is strong. And we need to be reminded that programs do not equate success. That it's the strength of Christ that equates success. In other words, he wants the glory. We're just clay pots doing the ministry. But he's promised that in the ministry, his grace will be sufficient for us. But indeed, he does want the credit. Let's remember that we need to rely upon him when we're teaching those young kids in that classroom. We need to remember that his strength needs to be present when we're teaching those adults in the adult classroom. We need to be reminded when we knock on that door and inviting somebody to church that we need his strength. We need his strength. That when we're weak, then he is strong. I've said many years ago that I want Heritage Baptist Church to experience that something that cannot be humanly explained. And I'm thankful to today what you see and what God has done at Heritage Baptist Church cannot be humanly explained. That God's grace has been sufficient for what you see and what God has done here. The many souls that have been saved and lives that have been touched and baptized and buildings that have been built and land that's been bought. God's been so good to us. But we need to remember that programs do not equate success. The buildings do not equate success. But we must continue to work the works of the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith. As believers, we need to remember that God's grace is sufficient. That the spiritual is more important than the physical. And we need a personal daily walk with the Lord and that renewal every day. Relying upon His grace, not just for salvation, but grace in living out the Christian life. And empowering us to live out the Christian life. God knows how to balance the burdens and the blessings in our life. And no matter what you may be facing, no matter what difficulty, suffering you may be going through, God's grace is sufficient. And God will carry you through. I'm so thankful for that. By the way, no matter what condition, no matter what we find ourselves in, when we do find ourselves in those things, remember that God has promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to energize us, encourage us, and empower us to go on. Then we need to go on. That means when you're going through difficulty, don't miss church. When you're going through difficulty, don't put your Bible down. Pick your Bible up. When you're going through problems in life, peruse through the Scriptures because in it you'll have power. Again, I'm just so mystified at people that will go through I'm talking about serious problems and start missing churches. And then you knock on the door and you say, preacher, you ask them, hey, we've been missing you. Or call them up or email them or text them or Facebook them. Anyway, however we get in contact with them and you say, hey, man, we missed you at church. Oh, you know, I've been going through some problems, been going through some difficulty. Man. By the way, any excuse to keep you out of church, the devil loves that. Y'all remember that old song? Excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them. If from church, you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Well, in the summer, it's too hot, and in the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, we find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or to stay home and kind of relax and hope some kinfolks start dropping in. I don't know why I remember all those songs like that, but I do. That's probably 30 years ago when that song, maybe 35 years ago. All right, there's a lot more to it, but I'm going to stop there. Don't use excuses not to come to church. When you're going through those difficulties, when you need to be in church. We can rest in God's promises. God's promises never change. Never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Paul knew about the power of God because he had trusted in God's power. He had depended upon God's power and His grace. And that same power that Paul experienced is available to you. The same power that God gave to Paul, He gives to us. God's grace is freely given to us. I hope this morning you will experience that grace. His grace is sufficient in our time of need. Let's all stand. So we have sufficient grace. We have strengthening grace. And we have saving grace. I hope this morning you've experienced that saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing hymn 164, There's Room at the Cross for You, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your love, and we thank You this morning for that grace that You've so richly extended to us. And God, I pray this morning that we would rely upon that grace, that we would, through life's burdens and through life's trials, continue to lean upon you, that we would find our strength in you. God, we wouldn't make excuses and we wouldn't put ourselves in a position to be out of fellowship with you, but Lord, that we would be renewed day by day in your word. And I pray this morning that if there's someone here who's never experienced your saving grace, they might experience it today. Well, that you would give them courage and to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. Have that salvation by grace through faith. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 164 as we sing.